Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello and welcome to episode 48, Happily Ever Kobe.
We had to talk about it.
We did have to talk about it. So as you probably noticed, we have been off for 2 weeks, and it actually started with us finding out about Kobe. We were on our way to record and sat here in the room together and looked at each other and we're kind of like, don't feel like it. And so, you know, we honored that feeling. I know we have a schedule and everything, and ideally we'd like to, you know, just keep it moving sometimes, but sometimes, you know, when something hard, you know, happens, that you do have to honor that piece of you that's just like, nah, I don't feel like doing anything. And so it's been a couple weeks. And so we did want to take time to talk about just grief, you know, grief in general, and then also why people were impacted so much about this. So, you know, kind of, you know, again, you know, the pop culture element, but also talking about a topic that sometimes can be a little tough to talk about.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
Well, I was thinking one of the things with grief that we're going to talk about later on is how it affects everyone in different ways, but it also doesn't really ever go away. And as I'm listening to you describe when we met in the room the day we found out, like, I feel a lot of feelings coming back of how hard that was and how that's just an example of how grief works.
Yes.
It's like, even though we think we've moved on, it's been a couple of weeks or whatever, just hearing you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, that sucked, man.
Yeah.
Like, that really was pretty painful in those moments.
Yeah.
And so I'm having a real life reaction
to this
thing that we're talking about.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, I mean, as most of you may know, because it's something that, you know, did really rock the world.
The world,
the
right?
World,
that was
yeah.
incredible.
You know, 2 weeks ago now. No.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago now. Kobe was on his way to a basketball game to go see his daughter.
I know.
You know, going to a basketball game with his daughter. Other teammates, other people were on the flight as well that ended up crashing and no one survived. So, you know, a lot of feelings have come up for everyone. I mean, obviously the people who have been huge Kobe fans, you know, lost someone they had seen, you know, their entire lives growing up. I think, you know, for me personally, was thinking about, you know, his wife Vanessa and like the rest of the kiddos, and you know, losing a husband and a daughter was the aspect that I thought about.
For sure. No, those are exactly where my thoughts went to, was the family and just how painful. And I think one of the, you know, being a therapist, one of the common things that we work with people on is grief and how painful it can be to watch somebody go through that. And so because we have that kind of firsthand experience to imagine what they're probably going through is, it's extremely painful. There's no way to really make somebody feel better in those moments. There's nothing really that anybody can say or do.
Yeah.
It's just about going through it.
It is.
And I think part of what we wanted to talk about today is just reminding everybody that this is a process. Going through something like this is a process. And we've actually had some pretty good guidance on what that process looks like. And when I say that, I think about the five stages of grief. That's commonly what I refer to when just kind of when somebody comes in, I like to kind of educate them on the process of grief so that they can kind of identify when they're at a certain stage, and then it gives them a little bit of understanding. Therefore, I think it's a little bit of a sense of control of the healing process, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm glad you brought up the piece of the control, because I think when when something like this does happen, that's something, you know, our mortality is something that, you know, comes up of, oh my gosh, you know, he had this, you know, one of the best basketball players and a great dad and, you know, was, you know, there for his daughters and his families and all of that. And this still happens, you know? And so, you know, that whole feeling of loss of control is huge. And, you know, and not knowing, especially, you know, if it is sudden, not knowing what's to come.
And don't you think, too, what commonly happens is a lot of times people will search, like we're craving the control because of the pain that we're in. We were trying to ease the pain in some way. And so a lot of times I think people will try to like overthink about, and I found myself doing this with this situation and other, you know, grief things that I've experienced, that you almost like are looking for like what happened, what, why, how could have this been stopped? What was the problem? Was there anything I could have done? Should I have that all of the questions that people start asking themselves just lead you down this empty rabbit hole. Rather than, and I get it. It's it's just our brain's attempt at trying to like
make sense of it.
Right? And kind of to your point, we can't. We can't make sense of that thing that happened. But what we can try to make sense of is our experience with it, and really kind of allowing ourselves and giving ourselves the permission to feel the pain that is inevitably going to be there.
Exactly. And I think, you know, in general, I mean, I know we're talking about this situation and, you know, a very tragic, very sudden, but also remembering that, you know, grief really can come from many different things. You know, usually I think when people think of grief, it's, you know, loss of someone, loss of something, but it can also, I mean, it is still that, but it also doesn't have to be a real life person or something that's living and breathing. You know, it could be a grief over loss of a relationship, loss of what you imagined your future to be, you know, loss of, you know, your expectations. And so grief can really come in a lot of shape and forms. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, growing up, we can hear these messages of, you know, that's, you know, it's not worth it to cry over that. It's not like somebody died, you know, that's something that I feel like I've heard before of, you know, it's not like somebody died. And it's almost like that's the only thing that allows for these feelings of grief to happen. But that's not true.
and that's, I think that's an important piece to remember. Because so the five stages of grief, I think there's some people that say that there's seven stages, but I operate more off the five stages. I don't even know what the other two things are, because I feel like the five wrap it up pretty nicely. But the five stages are denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. Did I get it right?
I think so.
Okay, I think so too. Correct me if I'm wrong, people. Those are the ones I use in sessions. So hopefully those are right. And when you know what those five things are, you can start to identify where you are in the process. How many of us? And I always mess up the denial one because I'm not very good at. I don't know if I have my head fully wrapped around it. But when I think of denial, the minute that I heard Kobe died, it was like, no, no, like there's no, you're right. He's my age. He's like, you know, having the best time of his life right now with his family. Like, no, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. And so we can deny, and like you were kind of mentioning, if it's not death necessarily, it could be a loss of a relationship or maybe a change in a job or moving, to a different state or even a different country can have feelings of grief. And what are the things that you're denying about the current experience that you're having and just kind of assessing that? I think that's kind of, is that kind of interesting?
For sure. But I mean, and then also in the world that we live in with like social media and like everyone trying to get clicks and, you know, that you know, you sometimes do start off with that feeling because you're like, there's no way, you know, there's no way TMZ is the first person to report this and his family doesn't even know, you know. And so
it makes me sick.
There's a whole other thing I can go on about that, but we'll save that for another podcast. Yeah. But yes, yeah, so there's that. Do you want to explain any more of the other stages?
Sure. So, well, and I need help. I need help with denial, and I need help with bargaining. Okay. So, well, let me ask you, because yeah. I feel so not good about uh-huh. explaining uh-huh. bargaining. Uh-huh. Do you have a good way of explaining it?
No.
Well, here's how I think of it.
Okay.
I think of it as bargaining with, like, more of a loss of, like, a job or something. Mm-hmm. That if I just work harder, mm-hmm. can I keep this job? Mm-hmm. If I just stay quiet, can I keep this marriage? Mm-hmm. If I mm-hmm. spend less money, will he love me more mm-hmm. type of situation? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this exchange that you're yes. making with, I don't know, God or the universe yeah. to try
or
to...
yourself or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's even bargaining with death, you know, make this pain go away.
Yes.
I just want it to stop. And yes. it's like, ooh, yeah. you can't make a deal with, you know, anybody regarding this. And nor should we, because yeah. there's consequences that come with not allowing yourself the space to go through each one of these stages. Mm-hmm. And so if you find yourself bargaining, it's... let it be. Let yeah. just do it. Let it be. Give yourself grace and kindness to be able to maybe it's something very private because yeah. there's something part of you that knows that sounds crazy mm-hmm. to say just bring him back. Yeah. But you're not crazy because yeah. it's one of the stages. Yes. So that means it happens to most of us, exactly. if not all of us.
Exactly.
And then we think of anger. I'll just go through them quickly if you don't.
Oh yeah, no, please do.
Okay, so bargaining we kind of talked about. And again, if y'all listening have some better ways of explaining it, oh, I would love to hear it. So bargaining, and then the next one is anger. Anger is we get mad. Mm-hmm. We're mad because in this example, the helicopter pilot should not have been flying, mm-hmm. or we're mad at God, mm-hmm. or we're mad at whoever. Mm-hmm. And the anger is, it's a stopping point, but it's okay to mm-hmm. be there. It's okay to process mm-hmm. it. It's okay to talk to people about it. Anything you want to add to the anger piece?
I mean, I think that, again, you know, when we talk about grief, sadness is usually the one that comes up. And so realizing you can have many different mm-hmm. emotions and, like, nothing's wrong with you, yeah. you know, for that. If you're feeling upset about a situation or even sometimes, you know, happiness. Sometimes people start feeling guilty when they feel happiness when something bad has happened and mm-hmm. realize, like, that's us as humans. Like, we're going to feel a lot of emotions. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. Doesn't mean anything right. is, you know, going on. It's just part of being human.
Like, you're not doing it right.
Exactly.
Or something like
that.
So,
yeah. you know, anger could be one of those where people feel guilty about feeling yeah. that. But
it's part of it. So yeah. accepting that piece of it. With anger, oftentimes next comes depression. Mm-hmm. So just like a deep sadness, mm-hmm. More of, I guess, maybe the one that people think is that's going to take up the most. Like if you think of all five stages as like data points or whatever, mm-hmm. like that they take up or gigabytes, I'm dealing with yeah. the gigabyte issue on my phone right now. Still, I think I've said it on a previous podcast, I'm still dealing with it. That you would think that the depression piece would take up the most gigabytes, if you will. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does, but yeah. sometimes it doesn't. But that's just the sadness that you experience, not just, yep. but that's what it is. Yeah. And then the acceptance piece is realizing this is kind of your new normal.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even just me saying that out loud reminds me of how painful sometimes the acceptance phase is.
Yes.
And just because you're not really, I don't want to say masked, but maybe distracted by... Yeah. the sadness or the anger mm-hmm. and then acceptance is like, oh, shit just got real.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. The acceptance can feel hard, I think, because like you said, it's real now mm-hmm. and I've accepted it. And sometimes with acceptance, you can have all these other feelings mm. rolled in. Like
I'm feeling it right now. Yeah. Flooding of whatever. Yeah. I don't even know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah. Of that feeling of just, you know, I did everything I could, and this is just the world, and knowing that it is out of your control. You're mm-hmm. accepting the fact that you don't know you can't actually really control the future. No matter what you do behavior-wise, we don't have an effect on when we're not going to be here anymore,
that
you know?
Sucks,
and
man.
So, I know, it's scary.
Like
it's so, so, so scary. It's scary to think about, but it's reality.
And there is a little bit of peace that comes with it.
Yes.
It's almost, it can't oh, yeah, feel like a breath, you know, yeah. like, okay, here we go. Yep. This is what it is. And some things that I always like to remind people about the grief process, that the order that I just said it in means nothing.
Yeah.
You can go through all of these at different phases for different lengths. You can experience, you can be out of the depression phase, go right back to bargaining, mm-hmm. and go right back to depression. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a guideline to have something to call it while you're there.
Yes.
And process it.
Yeah.
And then you kind of move on to another phase, and it could go any direction. It should go, you should at least hit on each one. And the other piece too is that it comes back. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, mm-hmm. I look at it and tell me what you think about this. This is how I conceptualize it. So if you go through the grief process, mm-hmm. You hit all of the stages and they're super intense, but you're very thoughtful about mm-hmm. the process. Maybe you're journaling, you're seeing a therapist, whatever. Cool. You went through the grief process, right? It will come up again, maybe when an anniversary comes mm-hmm. around, or mm-hmm. you see somebody that reminds you of your ex, or whatever the case may be. Whatever reminds you of the grief that you experienced, that you go back through the grief process, mm-hmm. but it's not as painful because you've done your work on the front end.
Yeah.
People that have not done any of the work tend to re-experience grief mm-hmm. much more intensely than those that maybe have done the processing of it. Is mm-hmm. that, what do you think about
that?
Yeah,
no, I agree with that. I think, I'm like, oh gosh, there's so much about what you just said that I really liked about it. So one of them was, like you said, you know, you're probably going to go through those stages and they're more just something to name them. Like, how powerful is it to just name our emotions? There's so many times we just go through the day and maybe they like don't stop and think, what am I actually feeling?
I love that, yeah.
And that sometimes just gives us a sense of control, you know, instead of just feeling so, you know, thrown off by our emotions. If we're able to name it, if we're able to say, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling, you know, frustrated, I'm feeling whatever it may be, that just naming it can be so powerful. But you're right. I mean, and I know we've talked about this triangle before, and I think I messed it up, but it's the thought triangle, uh-huh. you know, your thoughts, automatic, you know, or whatever you're thinking of impact how you're feeling and then impact what you do. So mm-hmm. you're right. If
that's perfect,
you
right.
know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, did your work and process, you've able to, you know, perhaps create a thought process for you that has a little bit more of that acceptance, has a little bit more of like an understanding about the situation, then impacts how you feel and then impacts like what you do after that.
That's right.
Like you were saying, if it's not something that's worked on, you know, like I said, your thoughts are just so powerful that like you could just think about it and you will feel exactly the same because the pain is going to be exactly the same.
Exactly.
Like your brain doesn't know if it's actually happening to you mm-hmm. or if you're just thinking about mm-hmm. it. And so if it's something you haven't processed or looked through or just have kind of, you know, try to block, mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty painful. But I also understand the reason why people do that.
For
it
sure.
is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes experiencing that sadness, but also can be uncomfortable being there for other people who are experiencing
point,
that sadness.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that too, about, you know, I think you said in the beginning of this podcast, like there's little you can do. And when you say that, I know you mean like there's little action wise that you can do to make this person feel mm-hmm. better, but the power also in just being there with people, of just holding them, of just being that space where they can feel how they feel and not be judged, not fall, you know, kind of in the hole with them, but just be there with them. And that is so powerful for people. So it can feel like not doing anything, and standing still can be hard for people sometimes, mm-hmm. but it is
It's such a gift for
the people going through this.
Yeah, great way of putting that. It truly is a gift. And I think if either you've experienced grief yourself or have been or talked to people that have experienced grief, there's some things that sometimes are said that it's like, oh, that's not what I need to hear right now.
Yes.
some of those things might be, oh, it gets better with time.
Yes.
Or it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Or it was meant to be.
Yes.
Or something like that. And
at least this didn't happen.
Yes.
Or think about all the other things going on in the world. And it's like, yeah, it's not a comparison game.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And these are people obviously just trying to help, but you bring up such a good point that when somebody has experienced grief, all they need sometimes is somebody to just share space with them.
Yep.
And let them feel the things that they're feeling.
Yeah.
With no judgment and just maybe some comfort, you
yeah.
know, and that's really it. And that's, I think, what we were talking about. That's what makes it hard. That's what makes our job hard sometimes, because we're in the business to try to, like, get people moving and grooving mm-hmm. in their lives. And mm-hmm. sometimes what that means is
yeah.
just listening.
Yes.
And that's it.
Absolutely. There is a quote that I learned at one of my jobs that says, you know, the normal quote is, gosh, I always mess it up because you like say it backwards, but it's like, don't just stand there, do something. Like, that's the normal quote. But like at one of my jobs, we just flip it around and say,
yeah.
you know, don't just do something, stand there.
Yeah.
Like, don't just do something to be busy, but
I love
you know, stand
that.
There and you can be there and be in the moment with them. And that's doing something
mm-hmm.
as well. So
I love that.
So with all of that being said,
yeah.
hopefully you learned a little bit about grief. I did want to touch on, like, very slightly on just, like, you know, why did this affect people so much? And I know we touched on it a little bit of just, you know, I think it brings us back to this idea of we don't know when our time is going to
mm-hmm.
be, and it reminds us of our mortality. And again, you know, how this, you know, how Kobe meant so much to different people. There are kids who grew up with him. And we saw him grow up
mm-hmm.
from high school to now,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, there's no rules around who you could feel sad about. You know,
right.
it's not just because somebody, you know, was close to you or whatever it may be, you know, that you know, it depends on that relationship that you have. And you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it was pretty surprising to see the outpouring. And I don't, just surprising because I guess I didn't realize how many lives were touched by
mm-hmm.
his
mm-hmm.
his presence, because he had so many hands in different things.
Yeah.
I think that part that was so hard about me is because he was doing in his life what I'm doing in my life
mm-hmm.
in regards to, like, this is the time where you're raising your kids
yeah.
and you're like, my kids play club volleyball. His daughter was playing club basketball. And we were just at a tournament the day before. He
yeah.
was headed off to a tournament.
Yeah.
And those are things that I'm currently living in
yeah.
my current. I mean, I'm not taking a helicopter, but I'm driving
yeah.
a car.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
you just wonder, like, you're
or
just
like
you're just
real
doing
close to home.
Right? You're
yeah.
just doing your thing.
Yeah.
And it's such a joyous time. It's been such a joyous time for me that it makes me so sad that got taken away from him.
Yeah.
And his daughter, because
yeah.
I mean, what a passionate person she was towards
yeah.
her goals, and
yeah.
it breaks my heart that stuff
yeah.
is that got taken away from him,
yeah.
and I think that's probably what my personal, like,
yeah.
hurt was
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
And I felt like I know him because
mm-hmm.
he was, you know, I don't, but
yeah.
I felt like I knew him because
yeah.
of his upbringing, like with him joining the NBA as young as he did, being around the same age that I am. I saw the whole, and it was all
yeah.
documented.
Yep.
I mean, this is like the era of social media,
yep.
and
yeah.
and he's my same age,
yeah.
and he has kids my same age.
Yeah.
So it was just very relatable, you know, where he was at in his life.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we wanted to talk about is the bullshit that we wanted to break
mm-hmm.
today is that everyone grieves the same, and recognizing the bullshit, no,
yeah.
recognizing that grief, excuse me,
yeah.
is a very personal process.
Absolutely.
And the way that you do it isn't going to look the same as
mm-hmm.
the way I do it
yeah.
or whoever.
Or
and
the way TV shows or movie shows
yes,
or anything,
exactly.
you know? And so you're not weird for grieving in your own personal way
mm-hmm.
because nobody grieves
nobody.
The same. So so if you think that everyone does or that everyone does only deserve to grieve when, you know, so and so happens,
right.
then you're wrong. And
you're
it's
wrong.
Bullshit.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. And I think too, being able to Either maybe advocate for yourself too, and if you're talking to a friend, like, this is my process, this is what I'm going mm-hmm. through, and I just need you to be mm-hmm. there for me. Mm-hmm. People don't know that because they have a different experience with grief. How exactly. many of us have had difficulty in our, you know, either in our upbringings or just in our life to really have the permission to cry yeah. and like get angry?
Yeah.
No, right? We try to like shield. People are uncomfortable around those emotions, so yeah. we're quieted when those yeah. happen, and we have to remember that's a normal part of the process. So,
yep.
So educating other people, reminding yourself it's okay, that everybody grieves differently, and maybe yeah. somebody you don't think is grieving enough, they're not ready.
Yes,
that's okay.
Exactly.
Like, let them be. If you want to let yeah. them listen to this podcast, great. Yeah. or exactly. not.
Yeah,
you
know? That's fine too.
That's
whatever.
Fine too.
But I loved what you said, and I know we talk about like takeaways and all of that.
Yeah.
But one thing that popped up with what you said is when you were saying like educating other people about, you know, just this idea that you do it a certain way. You can also educate people how to be there for
yes,
you.
Right?
It's okay, you know, when somebody is saying the like, well, at least this didn't happen, or, you know, you can say, hey, I just need you to listen to me right now. Like, I don't really need some advice. I just really need you to be there, you know, or just listen to me. Again, people grieve so differently that, you know, I do believe people are trying to do their best, but the only lens they have is what they would like in their own life. And so if that's not going to work for you, you know, instead of getting mad, instead of getting resentful, instead of feeling like they can't be there for you, why not try giving them a little bit of guidelines to be able to do that? Because communicating is the only way that other people are going to know
right.
what we need.
Right. And to add to that, don't yeah. you think it would be so... People, they're there for you because they love you
yeah.
and they want to help you.
Yeah.
And if you can say like, hey, just share space with
yeah.
me. Hey, I just need a hug. Oh my gosh, that person, they can help now.
Yes.
They're able to do the thing that
yes.
they wanted to do in the first place.
Absolutely.
They just didn't really know how.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. 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 So I think that is so powerful too. So yeah, that was the added takeaway.
I like it. No. So to kind of just add a little bit more to that, is the takeaway we want you guys to consider: what does this podcast, what does grief bring up for you?
Mm-hmm.
How has grief impacted your life? How did you give yourself grace? How could you give yourself grace? Should you need it right now?
Yeah.
How can you give it to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that feelings of grief can happen with any loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just death.
Mm-hmm.
It can bring up a lot of other, any feeling is loss. So a relationship, a job, like
yeah.
you said, a move maybe.
Yeah.
And if you have these, and the other thing too is there's no, like, you can start doing this whenever you feel ready.
Yeah.
So like, let's say you moved from California to Arizona,
yeah.
right? Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
And there's a lot of sadness,
yes.
right?
Because
sometimes
yes.
there is
yes.
because California rocks.
Yeah.
And my shout out to all the California people.
Does,
you're in
does
my homeland.
Yeah.
That if there's some grief that you experience, maybe the move was 10 years ago, but sometimes you still feel a little bit of sadness with it,
mm-hmm.
pause for
yeah.
a minute. Check it out. What's going on with that?
Yeah.
Why are those feelings there? It's okay.
Yeah.
Somebody might say like, oh, that's ridiculous. You moved to state.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I yeah. still feel sad about it.
Exactly.
You know? That's okay.
Exactly. And then and hopefully from this conversation, if there is a feeling that you had been feeling and couldn't identify,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
look at it through the lens of grief,
yeah.
you know, is it something that is gone now that, you know, you just didn't realize what it was? And so hopefully this gives you a little bit more clarity on that. And
yeah.
so, with that, that's the end of this episode. Hopefully you were able to learn a little bit more about grief and understanding it a little bit more, although I know it can be uncomfortable. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer. The information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.